עוד מנהוג פס על מיני הקה פספת זקה צנגון
We'll be spending some time in the trenches this week on Sports Stars of Tomorrow. We'll be meeting a pair of high-profile players up front, beginning with a five-star offensive lineman in Texas, and then we'll head to Virginia for a talented defensive end. We'll also stop in Philadelphia for the son of a former NFL player. And don't miss our Journey to Greatness feature with Denver Broncos star Von Miller. Those stories and more are coming up next on Sports Stars of Tomorrow. Sports Stars of Tomorrow. I'm your host, Charles Dickman, and I'll once again be taking you across the country to meet the future stars in sports. We'll begin today in the Houston area to meet one of the country's best offensive linemen. That's this week. Five-star.
Okay, good evening. This is your host, Johnny Atulai Titano, streaming from K57.com, Facebook at News Talk K57. Also, on Channel 2, the Weather Channel, and 96.5 FM if you're listening. Welcome to the Vet Talk Show. You can call us in at 477-5757. We're missing a member, a key member, Sean Watson. He's not here this evening. And also along with me is Tom Devlin. Tom, introduce yourself.
Good evening, everybody. I am one of the members of the Military of the Purple Heart on Guam. And I'm a lifetime member of the Military of the Purple Heart. I am a lifetime member of the VFW. And John, do you know I'm a member of the Disabled American Veterans for over 50 years? 52 years.
Well, it's been 50 years since Vietnam
That's
ended.
That's right. That's how I date myself.
There you go. Anybody out there have any questions or have any remarks or any celebrants coming up?
If you have any complaints, John Atulai is the name.
You can call us at 477-5757. Okay, we're going to start off this evening.
And the producer.
Oh, we can't forget Candyman Timon.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening.
And thank you for stepping up to the plate.
Always a pleasure.
I like your introductory music.
That was my grandpa's song.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was he a vet?
No. But he wrote that song was particular about Desert Storm. He wrote it.
Oh, no kidding.
I'll play it again later.
All right. It was enjoyable. And I like that.
I gave the intro the tut 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 tut.
Tut 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 tut. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Now, for a few announcements. I'd like to first do a shout-out to Nick Francisco, our regional commander for MOPH, who's recovering nicely, and I hope he gets on his feet real quick. He's up at Naval Hospital. He had a little complication after surgery. And anybody else?
The wives of our members and the veterans.
Yes.
Without them, you can have a crappy day.
All these dashing, daring...
Macho
veterans. You better remember, behind every good man's a good woman, and you better give that queen a hug and let her know. I do it all the time, right, baby?
Just buy her a car.
Hey, are we on TV, too? There's a wave.
Yeah, high. Wave, everybody. Okay. You know?
I see Patty in the morning. Patty and what's his name? They wave at everybody.
Yeah, wave.
And I love their opening music.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, you got anything for us, Tom?
I have one announcement. I have to take my glasses off to see it. The Navy base is having a clinic for the COVID-19 shots. The Navy base chapel is on Thursday, May 27th, from 8 o'clock in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon. They're giving out vaccines for those that want to go and get it. Also, the Navy Exchange on Saturday, May 29th, from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon. They're giving out the Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. And it's also open to veterans beneficiaries. So veterans, any veteran that has an ID card that can get on the military base, mm-hmm. that means that ID card has to say service connected.
That is a big problem.
That's
going
a big
around.
Problem. There's a lot of, and everybody's getting confused on that. But if it doesn't say service connected, you're not getting on that base.
You know, in actuality, I've gotten a lot of calls, and personal calls at home. Johnny, how come I'm not accessible to the bases and stuff? And I said, well, what's your card read? What card do you have? And if you need to get it adjusted or what, if it doesn't say service connected, you're limited to your accessibility. And that goes for your medical treatment, your... All your benefits. But most of the boys that I met, they're service connected or within, they were within the war zone. Any war zone gets you in. It does. Okay, anything else there, Tom?
Also, I'd like to take the time to thank United States Navy Base Guam for volunteering this month to help out the Veterans Cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
They've been doing it for the whole month.
Yes, they have.
And the Navy and the Air Force and other community members have helped out the cemetery.
They're yes, not, they have.
They're not the only ones. So a lot of kudos have to go out to a lot of people. We well, can't name them all. We could, but we just can't.
But they know who to be recognized.
Yes.
But just
yes.
as regular military service members, you can't name them all. You name the unit if you can, and that's you're part of that unit. You're part of that crew.
Right.
Okay. I have. I went by the cemetery this morning, and I usually do a weekly jaunt before the show,
mm-hmm.
and I'm impressed. It looks very nice. And people say, well, what's so nice about it? Well, think about what it looked like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They were doing such a nice cleanup that they found that there was a children's graves that had been covered over, and it just got lost in over time. And they uncovered it, and I forgot which group it was, but they hand-shined all the graves, and they came up with about 20 or 25 of them.
Recently?
Yes, last week.
Last week, okay.
And I'm sure the people are going to be very filled with gratitude at how it looks. And Tim, if you're available tonight, give us a call. I'd like to hear what you got coming up this weekend as far as working,
mm-hmm.
Working groups. Because I know everybody that I know of is putting their heart and souls into making it nice.
Right.
For Memorial Service Monday.
Right.
Okay. I went by this morning to the veterans office, and I was passed this slip by Veterans for Veterans. Who hinanoi magahit zan iinya, the way, the truth, and the light. I probably said it wrong, but that's me. Veterans Outreach. VA registry benefits, and it was they had a meeting at the Inland Mayor's office Monday last week, and the reason why they put down on this flyer is to try to get an accurate number of veterans on the island or region who may not be properly informed of numerous veteran programs, and they had contact numbers of Bill Salisbury, Anthony Tyron, Matthew Chaffers, and Brian Hahn. And I called up and come to find out Matthew Chaffers is my nephew, and they're having a meeting as we speak up at the Gigos Mayor's office,
mm-hmm.
and in correlation to what they're trying to do, and they're trying to promote and inform numerous veterans programs, health cares, and compensation benefits that veterans are entitled to. And I called him and he said they're a nonprofit organization, but they're feeling this wave that I'm sensing, that there's a lot of dissatisfied veterans with what's going on, but they're a young group, and they're seeking guidance. And I told him I will talk to him in the next couple of days. We're kind of busy with this memorial service, but I invited him to the Purple Hearts having a flag raising ceremony, 0700 Monday, and it's to commemorate all our fallen local and locally associated brothers and sisters who've fallen in the recent wars. And for those that are still alive from the Vietnam era, which was my time, and for those Afghanistan and those from the sandbox, and they got all these names, we will be doing a flag raising ceremony Monday morning, 0700, and we cordially invite any organization who wants to come by. It's a solemn occasion, and join us to commemorate Memorial Service. Remember, it's the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Veterans Day, we commemorate the living. Memorial Day, we commemorate the ones that have fallen. And not only in war, but from age. And we want to invite VFW, Brian, if you're listening, the boys from 3rd Marine Division, Chief Warrant Officer Salas. Who else we got? Oh, Danny Mendiola and the Vietnam veterans come down. Which is it's just a short ceremony, mm-hmm. and we'll have coffee and water and brotherhood to associate together. And I invited the boys from by Veterans for Veterans to come down. I told them to come down. And what else?
Well, I like it when they get together.
Oh yeah.
For those ceremonies. I mean, for the average person, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and we were discussing this before, it's just like a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something behind that.
Well,
and I think as a nation, maybe we've lost some of that.
Well, being from a little island, a little location like we are, we have, like from Korea, we had so many mm-hmm. wounded and died and killed in action, and Vietnam. And not to belittle what's gone on with since 9/11, and our boys went over there and they suffered, and they suffered as well as anybody in any other war. And it's just a solemn day of not a celebration but a commemoration,
remembrance
to those that have passed. Okay, now. What else have we got?
Well, Tony and I was getting some phone calls this afternoon. Some people were calling and saying they'd like to see a veterans hospital on Guam. And, you know, they can call in the show here, and I don't think you're going to see a veterans hospital on Guam right now, because we don't have exact pinpoint as how many veterans are on Guam. Some people say 15, some people say 20. But to have a standalone hospital just for veterans 24/7, I don't think the Veterans Administration will go along with that in any way, shape, or form. That's just my own personal opinion.
Well, these guys were talking about joining forces with the outer islands.
Right.
But you know, but still, the
so
numbers.
You don't have that big population. And what I would like to see, like Bill Cunliffe had an article in the paper,
mm-hmm.
in the PDN. Veterans have options for urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans can go to some urgent care facilities that will help them, FHP or American Medical Clinic, to receive urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to get approval from the Veterans Administration, the CBOC clinic, before they go. They can go and have something done to help them out. And the bill will probably be sent to the CBOC clinic or Hawaii.
Well, you know, being a veteran, they give you these ratings.
Right.
You know, 10%, 15%, 20%, 30%. And as the higher rating you get, no matter what the rating is, you still go to any hospital. If you go to GMH and you come in as a ill or injured person, it's absolute that they'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now the disparity is like everything else. Who's going to pay for this? If you show them the VA card, whether it says service connected or not, the connection has been made, and you show them that. And in the beginning, it seems a little confusing, but I like what Bill did. Bill, you did a good job in reminding these people that what's available off-island as well as on-island. And going off-island's tricky. The first time I did for my triple bypass, I'll tell you what, it was a rodeo that I'd never want to go through again. But because of the wife being on top of things, it was a smooth ride. And a lot of disparity is in the confusion of not knowing where to go, what to go, and this. And I think they do a good job in getting you there.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to use your moxie a little bit, your own brains,
right,
to kind of figure out what's going on. Keep your receipts, like you said. You may not get it back tomorrow, but you send it in through the proper channel. You may get
a portion of it back.
Yeah.
And yes, the veterans themselves, sometimes when something happens, they're not prepared for it.
Oh, of course.
And all of a sudden, well, do you have this? Do you have that? No. Do you have this? No. They don't have anything. And it's pretty tough for the CBOC clinic and the local veterans affairs, even the federal side, to get things right away, done right away. I mean, if you have a DD-214, they have that. They can do things right then and there on the spot, because they have the piece of paper. The other paperwork will have to follow, you know, your medical treatment. Your medical treatment's the priority.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, it's staying on top of something. You know, Gimme died yesterday. He got shot by Let Me Have It. It's an old pun.
I like that.
Gimme died yesterday, got shot by Let Me Have It, because he didn't know it was what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
There are certain things, even when you get sick, you better have something on top of things,
yeah,
like your will and testament. Nobody wants to talk about that.
No.
I still don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine. I'm taking it with me. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, and you hit a nail on the head with me, the will and testament.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and father were killed in an automobile accident at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
No will and testament.
Mm-hmm. Because nobody was expecting it.
And, you know, when you get a phone call at work and they say you come down and identify two bodies, you don't even believe it yourself as you're driving down to the hospital.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you go there and they say, well, we have to make arrangements for a funeral. What funeral? I just identified them, and now, well, we don't hold the bodies forever.
Yeah.
So by tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, we'd like the funeral director to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then to find out that there's no will and testament.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's the tragedy
of
not being prepared.
Yeah.
And then when we get older, much older, we want to deny it. No, I'm not getting old. I'm not getting old. Look at Nick. That guy's young, frisky, suave. And then look. And now, but if you got a close relationship and a brotherhood like he has with his... with the other members of Military Order for Part, we're always calling him. What do you need, Nick? I need a hairbrush. I said, a hairbrush?
For what? He's got no hair.
Yeah, it's really, man. Who are you trying to impress up there?
Yeah.
You know?
Man. Come on, Nick.
Come on,
you're starting
Nick.
To look like me. No hair on your head. What's going on here, Nick?
Yeah? But yes. This last week, we had a POW/MIA flag-raising ceremony held on Armed Forces Day.
Yes.
And I feel slighted. It was held at the National Guard, and they observed it with a solemn POW/MIA flag-raising ceremony at the Readiness Complex.
Okay.
I had buddies that were never found in Vietnam, whether they were blown up,
whatever,
or captured,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that were captured and used as here's what's going to happen to you guys. Tony Espinosa, friend of mine, another medic. They captured him, eviscerated him from his gut to his genitals, took his genitals and shoved him in his mouth, hung him by the neck to a bamboo, and said, "This is what's happening to your outfit." And that sounds cold and everything, but it's a reality. And I think that I got 16 kids up at the National Guard, and they all know me, and I feel slighted. And anytime I try to get a hold of the National Guard, it's like they shine you off. We are one unity. We're one outfit. Like I said, my grandsons are up there.
Maybe it's time that they try to do a better job with the
public relations.
Public relations.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to find out come Memorial Day who are the ones that are going to be representing what.
Yeah, that's, yes. I know they have an issue with social distancing, but the cemetery is a big place.
Well, if we follow what the Navy and the Air Force are doing, they're not requesting and requiring masks anymore.
No, they're not.
You know? And it's optional.
If you want to wear it, fine. If you don't,
yeah.
That's up to you.
They say if you got the shots, you're clear.
Mm-hmm.
Who goes around to verify you got shots or not?
Right.
Why is it putting everyone in such a paranoid schizophrenia?
Well, the whole world is paranoid and going crazy. I mean, a month ago, you and I were discussing this. You got people from the CDC or whatever saying, well, we would recommend that you wear two masks. You know, the cloth mask, right?
Yeah.
And a month later, well, now you don't have to wear a mask if you had the vaccine. So I think part of the problem is people don't have much confidence in government in general. Who do you believe? When do you believe?
I guess. Hey, we got a call.
Okay.
Should we take it?
Sure, why not?
All right, what I do, just push the button, right?
Push the button. Stand by.
Hello. Did I do it right?
There you go.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the talk show. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Who's this?
This is Brian Strickner from the VFW 1509. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
VFW 09. Oh, we're doing good, Tiger. How are you doing?
All right. I want to make let everybody know that we're doing a flag retirement ceremony.
Okay.
On the 29th, Saturday.
Flag retirement on the 29th, Saturday.
At 1500, 3 p.m.
Okay. Location?
At the post home in Geo.
Okay.
Anybody who has an old flag or unserviceable flag, please bring it down.
Okay.
And we'll retire it as required.
Okay. That sounds good. And then, who's this?
This is Brian.
Brian.
Yeah. Senior Vice Commander of the VFW Post 1509.
Right, 1509, VFW 09, 1509.
Yes.
Okay, Brian. Well, listen, thank you for the for the posting of this. And we'll see. I think we got one more show before the 29th, right?
Well, actually, it'll be this weekend.
It'll
be this weekend, actually.
Well, I'm glad you called in to let us know it's going to happen.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, and you have a good evening, Tiger.
You too, brother.
All right, be good now.
Huh?
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's the first call I ever took, man.
Aren't you so happy now?
Where are you, Sean?
You know, they caught me off guard.
What's that?
Because usually when the call's coming out the screen, and I was like, wow, there's one second I got you.
I told you, hey, it's an all new crew.
Way to cover down.
That's right. We cover down. Okay, where are we at? Oh, we were talking about the POW MIA flag raising ceremony held on Armed Forces Day. we got shunned. That's my flag. I got a personal flag like that. POW.
Well, I think maybe with the, speaking, maybe the National Guard would, step it up a little bit and try to do a better job in communicating with the various veterans. They can call the local Veterans Affairs Office. They have the numbers of the veterans organizations.
Yeah. Well, it's since their inception, since Goldhorn left.
I know.
I'm sorry, but...
I know.
We got some General Roddick. What was his name?
Roddick.
He was communicable.
Yeah.
We could communicate with him.
Yeah.
But this lady, man, it's like she's scared or something. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
If I was a general and I had a star, I wouldn't be scared of nobody.
Well, I think maybe she has to do a better job in communicating with the average person out there in the community.
Yeah.
Just communicating.
Well, doesn't she have a POW or, what do you call it? PIO or...
They all do.
They all do.
They all do. They all have.
And stay in communication.
Right. Especially with their veterans organizations.
Exactly.
I remember Goldhorn would actually call the various veterans leaders, the PIO, and we'd have meetings with them. Remember that?
That's true.
We'd actually have meetings with the Army General,
mm-hmm.
the Air Force General, luncheons
yep.
with them. The Navy Admiral at the top of the mall. Remember those
times?
Yes,
we did. Yes, we did. I remember those.
And the communication, and it was much, much better.
Yes.
But, the COVID virus sort of curtailed certain things, but it hasn't curtailed everything.
Yeah.
So I think those that can have to, try to do a better job in reaching out.
Well, this COVID, a friend of mine asked, What did you lose, Johnny? What did you lose from COVID? I said, communication with some good friends. And I says, it's solemn and it's very touching, but the thing of it is, you do lose.
Yeah, it's taken a mental health issue from everybody.
Yes, it has. And if we don't learn from it, we repeat ourselves. Now today they came up with, we need to get an auxiliary shot to augment the strength of the shots we're getting. I sound like you're going to be getting shot every 6 months.
Well, it'll be like they said, like a flu shot. Every year you get the flu shot.
Yeah.
But the flu shot is only, 50% effective on an average?
Yeah.
So each year they have to get a different, however they do, a different formula.
Yeah.
But I think the idea is you have to get more people to get the original shot.
That's true.
To get you can't give them a booster shot if they don't have the original. I'm not a doctor, but it just doesn't make any much sense to me. But look at these other countries. Remember Taiwan? Taiwan didn't have a problem.
No.
Look at Taiwan today. Look at the Philippines. Look at Indonesia, Malaysia. Look at India. Now, these were countries that had some type of control over it, to a certain extent. But what happened? What went wrong? We have to learn lessons from what happened to them. We can't get overly, satisfied because it could turn on us just like it turned on them.
Yeah, that's true.
Complacency.
But is it... No, I ain't going to go.
Come on, John. You adjusted your chair. You look like a big boy now.
Yeah, well, I'm having a big wheel here, man.
Hey, man. You're swinging on that chair. And you notice we have other chairs in here?
Yeah, we got some brand new chairs.
Brand new chairs.
The company's breaking loose.
Yeah.
I like that.
My butt cheeks don't hurt. They're firm.
Shouldn't. Okay, any vets out there in Radio Land want to listen up and give us any new info on any activities coming up this weekend?
477-5757.
That's right.
The phone call to call.
And where's my cheat sheet?
Yeah, right what here. The cheat sheet?
Streaming on K57.com, Facebook at News Talk K57, also on Channel 2, the Weather Channel. Our number is 477-5757. If you got any remarks or anything you want to talk about, give us a call. And we're going to take a break at this time, right? We take it 1900.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay. So we'll get back to you as soon as we hope.
News Talk K57 is 570 AM KGUM Hagatya Guam. Station News Talk K57.
food and dietary supplements products discussed on this program are intended to contribute to the daily diet and overall health and are not intended for the use in the prevention, treatment, mitigation, or cure of any disease or health-related condition. Individuals that have or suspect they have illness or wish to commence a diet or exercise program should consult an appropriately licensed healthcare practitioner for a medical history evaluation, diagnosis, treatment, and health recommendations.
And welcome to Let's Play Doctor. Dr. Joel Wallach, your host, a veterinarian and physician. And I'm here for kids and baby boomers and seniors who don't want to die at 75.5 like their parents and grandparents. I'm here for kids and baby boomers and seniors who don't want to be sick and miserable for the last 15 to 20 years of their life like their parents and grandparents. We do have lines open. Give us a call toll-free, 1-877-912-PLAGUE, and that's toll-free, 1-877-912-7529. And I want to go over some interesting kind of statistics here. You know, the number of COVID cases is going down, the number of COVID deaths are going down, but it's not, you know, dramatic. It's going down. It's recognizable, but not dramatic. In India, we have 26,752,000 infections and 303,700 dead. It's India, biggest country on earth here, 1.7 billion people. We Americans, okay, have 332 million. We have 33 million, okay. 7 million more than the Indians have. 33,896,800, and we have 604,900 dead. So why do we have more dead, and why do we have more infections than Indians? Well, the Indians are going to panic.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Thank you, Candyman Time, and that was a nice jam. That was a nice jam.
I used to, that was one of my jams when I was in the Army, you know.
Oh, you was in the Army?
I was in the Army. That's why I'm honored to do this vet talk show with you guys.
All right. Well, it's welcome aboard, Tiger.
Yes, sir.
You got a vet card?
I do. Service connected.
You go, boy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is the vet talk show. And we have, we're streaming from K57.com, Facebook at News Talk K57, also on Channel 2, the Weather Channel. Any of you guys out there want to call us, give us a call, call us 477-5757. And our other host here is
Tom Devlin. I'm one of the members of the Military Purple Heart on Guam.
Boy, that's good. And just a little reminder, VFW 1509, they're going to retire flags on the 29th of September at 1500 at their post in Jigo. So, Brian, that's two for you. Okay. Where are we at now, Tom?
In the Veterans Affairs Office and Cemetery.
Okay.
The director is going to request $9 million.
Great.
Versus the budget of roughly $700,000 and change.
Well, you know what they say.
What do you think $9 million would do to that cemetery in the office?
I think for the benefit of other things that he has in mind, I can't talk for him. I'd like him to call us up.
Yeah.
Tim, if you're listening, give us a ring.
I think one of the things that probably be part of that, should be part of, is the demolition of those empty crypts on top of the hill that are leaning. That have been there, leaning there, empty for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Because they can't put any remains in those crypts.
Well, that wouldn't take but a heartbeat.
Right, I'm just saying.
I watched them demolish all those homes in Tijuana,
mm-hmm.
and it was gone in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, you never knew they were there.
Mm-hmm.
The old Assen complex, in one
right.
week, all those buildings were torn down, and it's a park. You never would have known it was there if you didn't have pictures. But what his intentions are, I have no idea.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know if he's going to ask the legislature for the $9 million, or is the governor of Guam going to give him the $9 million from the federal funds? I don't know. I don't know. Could be a combination of both. I have no idea.
Well, you know, what they always said to the, I learned in management, in things, if you need three, ask for six.
Right.
If you get three, you're lucky.
But like you said before, there's a limited amount of money here now. Once you start spending it, it goes out fast.
Oh, yeah.
And, I was listening to the news, and this is just me now. The governor was saying that she's almost eliminated the deficit. She only has like a one point something million dollars. And then I'm saying to myself, you eliminated a deficit, but you're getting all this money from the Fed side. But look at how many people that work for the government have won that haven't been paid their overtime in these various agencies.
Yeah, but they never missed a paycheck.
I understand that.
About these civilians on the outside.
Right. And that's also part of the thing also. I don't know how she's managing dropping that deficit down so much.
And I have no idea either.
Right, but the idea is that affects budgets. Affecting budgets would affect the Veterans Cemetery and office because it's part of the government of Guam. So,
well, considering what they're doing down there with that VA office, I don't know whose building it is. I don't even know if it belongs to Gov Guam or what, but making do with what they got. Those girls down there in the VA office, they did a nice job. Ron's got a nice office, and Tim's got a nice office, and the girls still work out of their places. And the thing of it is, though, is that are they being properly taken care of financially?
No.
Based
on the last budget that I should remember, I showed you the budget.
Yeah.
Based on salaries and benefits, I'd have to come to the conclusion, this is just me, that no, they're not being taken properly care of at all.
I wouldn't, you know, that's why I say to you, vets, when you go down there and you connect with those ladies and Ron, put on your best suit, put on your best face, because for what they're getting paid is nothing compared to what the abuse and the looks and be nice. Help me help you. And you do that with a smile. I know it's hard because everybody's in this condition we're in now, but we make the best of what we can. we're resilient. We're resilient because of the fact that that's the way we were raised, basically. So when you go down there, gentlemen, be nice. And consider the fact that, hey, Gimme died yesterday, got shot by Let Me Have It.
And everybody's under a certain amount of mental stress.
Mm-hmm.
Some more than others. Some react to it differently than others.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in general, I would think that you probably agree, there's more mental stress out there now than there was 2 years ago.
Yep.
In the community in general.
And looking at this thing again, by veterans for veterans, other young guys are coming up in there, and they're looking and seeing the disparity in what they think they should have, what they should receive for doing what they did as young veterans. Mm-hmm. And they're coming back, and some of them have been in Honolulu for 2 years trying to get over PTSD. So let's be a little more sympathetic.
And eventually I think the clinic will start to come back.
Hopefully.
Yeah. The problem with the clinic is it's just too small.
It is.
It's just, and social distancing, they don't have enough social distancing for the employees, let alone
patients. You know, with this new technology where they farm out mm-hmm. the services,
right.
And I'm hearing it from a lot of guys, you need hearing aids, mm-hmm. you need to go see an ophthalmologist or whatever it is for your ears, you go see this lady down here and she'll take care of you, test you, and the VA takes care of it.
Right.
And if you're in need of earplugs, they'll fix you up.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things, even myself, I've gone through several procedures where my doctor, who's an outside doctor, because we don't have a cardiologist
right.
on Guam other than outside. The VA refers me to the cardiologist, and then he tells me, you need this, this, and this, the different outposts. Get blood work here. I had blood work taken down at the Aganey Shopping Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did blood work there for a procedure coming up.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully it comes out good, you know?
Oh.
We got phone ringing. Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, Candy, man, you throw a rock at me, let me know, man, because I'm looking at time.
Something's wrong, because I'm not hearing these calls coming on this side. It's weird. Wait, all right. Take line one.
Okay. Line one, you're on the air. Vet Talk Show. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, Johnny? I'm Tom.
Yes.
This is Joe Miona. Listen, I had an operation up on the GOMC.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I got a bill saying that I need to pay the $600. And I tried to contact TriWest, the CBOG, the 1800 numbers.
Uh-huh.
Because I want to find out. I want to know what am I going to do with this the $600 that I have to pay.
Okay.
And according to the nurse, was that advising me to contact the VA and see, you know, and find out the. What is the next step?
Okay.
Am I covered? I mean, for the $600, I understand the toys that we have, you know, uh-huh. were given to us.
Yeah.
But I used the private insurance at DRMC, but the insurance is not the. DRMC don't carry the Aetna insurance.
The Aetna insurance, okay.
MC.
Yeah, and I don't know if any of you guys have any advice or information as to
Well,
you know,
was it an emergency?
I got a boil on my back, and according to the doctor at the DMC, they need to open up and
cut it out.
You know, yeah.
So you went? Did you go through the emergency room?
Yes. Right.
So did the doctor state that was an emergency?
Yeah.
Does he?
No, I still undergoing checkup on this. This is about 3 months. I have the boil on my back, and yesterday I went to the doctor, surgeon doctor, to check on my back. But first I started, right after DRMC, I went up to FHP. And FHP, I used my private insurance on FHP.
Right.
Yeah. Now the surgeon up at the ITC second floor, he conducted another surgery on my back again. I think it was yesterday morning, when emergency call from, because I had the, what's called the X-ray of my back. And
Okay. Who do we refer him to? Now, you're a veteran. Joe Maglonia?
Yeah.
I would say
1967 draftees.
Okay, but what's your rating? Do you got a rating?
90.
Huh?
90.
90.
Yeah.
So you're as close to 100% as you can get.
Yeah, I qualify for the other 10%, but you know. I said, never mind, I'll give it to other veterans.
That's nice of you, Joe, but this,
yeah.
We're in a situation now. Refer
him to the local Veterans Affairs office.
Yes.
For them to send that bill to Hawaii, the VA office in Hawaii.
You get that, Joe?
Yeah, the 1800 in Hawaii, right?
No. Go down to the Veterans office and see someone down there, one of the people will assist you down there. Okay?
Okay.
Wouldn't it be the CWOC?
But see, I got the back-to-back appointment in July with Samaniego.
Yeah, Dr. Samaniego.
Yeah.
That's my doctor.
Those appointments from CWOC, it's so lined up, my eyes, my feet, and...
My advice to you, Joe, is to make sure you go to every appointment. Don't miss an appointment, because it's going to hurt you in the end. But go down tomorrow, see Tom or Marsha, or any of the representatives out there.
Bring your paperwork with you. They'll make copies of it.
Bring your paperwork. Okay, Joe, it was nice talking to you. And
yeah, okay, I just want to do that because, my God, $600 a month.
Hell yeah, you know, that's a lot of geetas. And we ain't got no
okay.
money. Take
yeah,
care.
Good night, you guys. Take
All
care.
Right.
Okay. You got it, Joe. Okay. What do we got going here? Candyman's doing it in the producer's show. Sean, if you're listening, you better stop laughing. I know you're laughing, Sean.
You remember a few months ago we were talking about the new capabilities of the Veterans Administration in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
With electronic healthcare modernization program.
I don't know about Washington, D.C., but we got a problem. Are you okay there?
We've been working on this. And they
Hello. Hello, is this Vet Talk?
Yes, it is. It's Vet Talk Show, and your host is Johnny and Tom.
Yeah, Johnny, I'm laughing. Who's your primo? Pepper Galleon.
What's up, guy? What can we do for you this evening?
You know, I was hearing Tom, you know, because he was talking about, we're hearing a lot of people say they run a veterans hospital, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we know the budget, you know, of course, and then we hear, you know, directors have to, a particular budget to, have to submit, right? At least fiscal year. And man, at the legislature, when you have Senator Joe Silverstein and his assistant Guerrero, Steve Guerrero, you know, Office of Finance and Budgeting, they'll comb through and just make sure, you know, you're not, you know, that you can justify, you know, whatever the budget is. You know, so the thing is that the governor's priority, and it's not new, and it's been new, is that the governor's priority is a new hospital.
You
know, a new public hospital. The Army Corps of Engineers, and you know, I have insight because I've had individuals tell me as they're part of this strata, you know, this task force that's looking at planning this new public hospital because, you know, my mom's house is next to the hospital and she used to be the director of nurses, I'm telling you. When any power outage goes at that hospital, I just want Johnny, you, and Tom to imagine the nurses manually trying to pump the oxygen in the ICU room because the power's out just to keep someone alive. So the thing about it is, with this planning of this new public hospital, is there potential opportunity here? That, you know, because I always hear Tom saying, man, this CPOC is too small. And there is, just to let you know, the University of Massachusetts, they in their campus, they actually had a CPOC, you know, located for the medical students. And what I'm saying, we come full circle into this discussion with a public hospital linked to the University of Guam, you know, and also to probably like health at the Guam Community College for students doing some internships at the hospital. But we're talking about if there's enough of this of the size of the location to allow to work with the congressman. This has to be a team effort with the governor, the legislature, and the congressman. So when that public hospital is built, there's sufficient space there for the federal entity to come in there, a CBA. And not only CBA, it's high time to start moving the intake, the one in Tijan and the one above the First Hawaiian Bank, to move those two entities into that location.
It should be consolidated. We got these pockets of Veterans Affairs here, Veterans Affairs there, and all this. It should be consolidated in one location. I agree with you.
Now my perspectives about budgeting again, with the experience of government I have, over 29 years of government, and being at budget hearings, not only as director of veterans, but director, chief of police, and then also as a staff officer for different chiefs of police. You know, when you're the first thing the legislature looks at is what are you going to use for staffing? And I did catch, I think, a little bit of a release with him indicating a possible increase of staffing of the service officers. Right now, I think you have four service officers there, right? So what Tim needs to be prepared to answer, you know, because these are, we call them squirrels, senators, you know, they're counting every penny, right? You know, they're going to be asking Tim, now you want to increase your service officer from 4 to 9, 12? You know, because the thing about it, Johnny and Tom, we already know at Tijan, people go there to those intake officers to file their claim. They don't go down to the absent. For some reason, they just want to file it directly with the Tijan, you know, federal office, right? So there are claims.
Well, you know, the technology now, Primo, is that everything's available if you know how to use it.
There you go, the your e-benefits.
And the thing of it is, half of these guys refuse to use it. If it wasn't for my wife, I'd be, my heels would be locked.
Yeah.
But I lose her,
the question that's been asked is about that. What's the percentage that we'll be using? We don't want an extra six service officers sitting down, you know, with no traffic coming in, right?
Well, yeah. Fred, not even that. There's no room for them.
Yeah, that's also another thing, the space.
Yeah, there's no room. It's a house. You work, you know, it's a house. It's a level house. Yeah. So there's no room for them. But when you look at the disparity of the salaries, they're not, you know, when you're a service officer, you've got to be a lawyer and a doctor at the same time.
Exactly.
You know, that's a trait.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a lot of people on Guam and a lot of veterans themselves don't realize that. The type of training, and then you have that five-year burnout cycle. You know, after 5 years, they're tired. They heard the same thing over and over again. They get tired. They just they burn out.
Yeah.
So you lose them on that end of it. But here on Guam, on a small island, we were talking before about the director. The average budget is roughly $700,000 and change. You know, it fluctuates, but it's roughly that.
That's right.
And now, all of a sudden, he's asking for $9 million. Now, if you're an elected official, if you're one of the 15 senators, and you're sitting in that budget hearing, what do you say when you... For years and years and years, we've given them $700,000 to $800,000 in change, and all of a sudden, the gentleman sitting in front of me is asking us for $9 million. What would the questions come out of you if you were on the opposite side of the table?
Yeah, some of the questions are going to come out. You know, they'll separate the operations of the office as opposed to the operations of the cemetery, of course, right? Starting with the cemetery, they'll say, you receive, what is the total amount of reimbursement in 1 year that you get from those burials, or when you do those burials, you know, or you do the person who's interned at the cemetery? What's the total number, you know, and the total number really, essentially, you're talking about $89,000 a year of reimbursements from the federal government, right? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the answer is that $89,000. Plus, you have an opportunity to apply for a grant, the cemetery expansion grant, which the last time it was about $3.2 million, I think, under John M. Pinko. So you can get federal a grant of, maybe if that grant is applied by 10, you know, you could get a part of three. You know, if they can justify up to three, you never know. You know, it could be, it just depends on just what the project's going to be, the scope. But either is the question that we're talking about. You know, I ran for senator, I would be asking these kind of things like, okay, so you have $89,000 in reimbursements. So what did you use with that $89,000? And it goes to paying for the backhoe when it's a ground burial, and it goes for other maintenance stuff, you know, for the cemetery. But the large capital projects, you're going to need more than $89,000. And you know, that's where the federal grant, the expansion grant, comes in. Now, I think if you're counting on the governor, you know, to dish out $8 million or $9 million, and the grant isn't applied for by the most likely, you know, knowing the governor, she'll sometimes say, well, you know, apply for a grant, an expansion grant, and I won't have to give you $9 million. I can give you $6 million. But then, besides $6 million, again, like I said, the governor's priority is going to be this new brand new hospital, and with the new American Recovery Act, you know, the states are starting to pay the overtime emergency workers, the ones in the public health pandemic. Those are the first priority, and make sure the hospital, you know, the ventilators and everything else, in case something spikes up in the COVID-19, you know, the emergency preparation is there. And then the second part portion, of course, is the stimulus, you know, the RISE Act, you know. It's a gubernatorial election coming next year. So, you know, also small business grants, you know, from the CARE Act, you know, from the Recovery Act, to the small business and all of those private sector, about 30,000 unemployed, are looking at, of course, with the stimulus, and then the public safety, the Guam Police Department, and the law enforcement.
But Fred, when these senators, these 15 senators, are sitting there, do you think emotionally now, not intellectually,
Yeah.
Emotionally, they're going to get sticker shock.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, from, definitely. We've been giving this office, cemetery, whatever, $700,000 for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, we have a gentleman sitting in front of us saying, I need $9 million.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get that $9 million? The budget hearing is going to come up sooner rather
that's
than
right.
later.
That's right. And
I don't know. I don't know what.
Taken,
right. I don't know whether they're just going to blow this off and say, "Well, I'll ask for the moon. I won't get it." And just we wind up going back to the $700,000. That's that's what I'm trying to say.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm telling you, Tom. It wasn't me. You know. I think to the credit of Governor Eddie Calvo. You know, I needed an evidence control facility. Virgin Islands got one. I worked with Senator Palacios and Governor Calvo, and he asked Department of Interior to finance an evidence control facility for it. So that was a large capital project, and that's from Interior money. You know, so those are options that the governor might have. But again, you know, there are other priority. Again, the big ticket capital improvement project, and the governor's made it known. We've seen that. This new public hospital, you know, and GPD is going to need. I mean, the public safety is going to need a new radio system too. You know that the Homeland Security emergency public safety radio system for fire and police.
I understand that, Fred, but stick to the Veterans Affairs.
Yeah,
everybody has to fight for their own budget, you know, and that the police have to do their own thing. The fire department has to do their own thing. Right now, the Veterans Affairs Office, in general, has less than 10 employees, in general.
Yes.
It's a small agency, in general. And you're gonna sit in front of 15 people and go from a $700,000 budget to asking them for $9 million. What is their emotional take?
Yep.
And have you talked to these individuals before you decide to ask for this kind of money?
Yeah, because the key people to talk to is going to be the Speaker, Vice Speaker, the Budget Office with Senator Joseph Augustine, who has his assistant, Steve Grill. And one of the big things is the staffing. Just, I mean, if you want to increase staffing, you know, and their service officers, again, like I said, what's the justification for that? Because they're going to look at what is your traffic, and two, Can veterans can they actually just go into their e-benefits and you didn't really need a service or go to an attorney, you know, if they're going to challenge and their appeal, you know?
Right, and my pet peeve for years is, let's say you have five service officers.
Gentlemen, we got other callers on the line.
For argument's sake.
Yeah. Okay.
The local Veterans Affairs Office can't tell the senators how much money extra they generate in various veterans' claims.
Yeah.
They've been asked that question, but we don't know. We don't have a record of that. That causes a problem in itself.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that the local Veterans Affairs Office, however they figure it out, has got to answer
the
question.
Okay, gentlemen.
Okay.
I hate to break it up. We got
we're
running out of time. Thank you, Fred, for calling.
Okay.
All right. You take care. Okay, Candyman. Are we ready to switch again? Roger. Hello. Good evening. Awesome. Hello, welcome to Vet Talk Show. Hello?
I guess they're no longer on the line. They were waiting.
They were waiting.
Yeah, let's have them call back.
You know, you long-winded, you guys like to break to get to the...
You're the guy with the computer. You could wave to me.
I didn't see it.
Oh,
we got a call. I'm coming in during the day and figure this out, man. Meet Candyman.
You're live.
Hello, good evening, welcome to Talk Show.
Hello.
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 Good evening, welcome to the Vet Talk Show. Who's this?
This is Tim Uggan, the director of the VA.
Hey, Tim.
Did it hurt?
Well, you know, it'd be nice if you knew what you were talking about there, Tom.
Well, everybody has an opinion. Let's hear yours.
Why don't you get the facts straight? The nine million is part of our supplemental request for the ARP, not my budget that I submitted for fiscal year 22. And I don't know what Fred Berdiah is talking about when he never submitted anything even close to having a vision at the VA. So you know, you guys got to be clear and understand the facts before you start running people over on the bus.
Well, not throwing you under the bus. I'm asking you a simple question. It's not sometimes, Fred, you can't take it personally. I'm not pounding you. I'm just asking a simple question. I may not have all the information, but here you are calling me, and you're giving me the information. Yeah, so we all win by that.
Yes, we do. And there's a whole lot that goes to that, right? Since the ARP is supposedly you have 3 years to spend the money, you know, since we've suffered for decades over there, why not plan for the future? That's, you know, that was a wish list, right? I know we're not going to get $9 million. That's just the facts. But, hey, it doesn't hurt to ask, right? That's supplemental. That's, we're still back at the original budget proposal that I did. What was it when they did the budget call in December? We submitted 2.3 or 2.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're still at that. And we met with St. Augustine yesterday. We went over the budget. We talked about the things that are important to us, like the infrastructure, the staffing pattern, you know, something that can move the agency forward to accommodate all the veterans that we have. And with that manpower that we can use to upgrade and increase our efficiency with the veterans on Guam, which includes the positions that I'm asking for veterans health, right? So, you know, at least to have a buffer and be the liaison on the ground, boots on the ground, instead of everybody calling the 1-800 number. I know it's frustrating. I deal with that with my sister, and then with the CBOC, right? So we're going to try and mitigate that by adding these positions for veterans health. Hopefully the budget will allow us to have those two positions, which, you know, I've presented it in a way that the Guam veterans community desperately needs, you know, knowing all these veterans that come into our office that sometimes get lost with all the directions and guidance over a 1-800 number. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's ambitious, I admit it, but, you know, it's long overdue for somebody to have a vision. And, you know, you won't never know if you don't ask, man. So, you know, I'm willing to fight for whatever we can get. And, no, $700,000 is not enough to run. And you yourself, Tom, you said at least $1 million. And I took that for gold, right? So, you know, if we come out of this thing with $1.2 million, Tom, that's a great thing, right?
I think you and I can go to lunch on that at Denny's.
Yeah, hey, not well, next year I can treat because I'll be 55.
Oh,
oh, yeah. Oh, rub it in. Hey, did the girls tell you I stopped by today?
Yeah, she said some handsome guy this morning.
Really?
And
brought donuts.
It must be somebody's special friend that comes once a week. Thank you. Thank you, though. Gentlemen, thank you for your support. And all the volunteers that, especially, you know, you guys that have come out and helped this both cemetery in preparation of Memorial Day. And, that you know, that's something I wanted to call in and thank all the organizations, the veteran organizations, the
the military organizations.
The military, yeah. MBG, Naval Base Guam, came out really, really strong this year.
Yes, they did.
They helped us paint the headstones at the East Agandia Memorial.
Yes.
And they also came and scrubbed all the headstones over at Petey. So they came out 3 or 4 times already, and we really appreciative of that, along with the motorcycle clubs and the other veteran organizations that have come out. This is just an overwhelming of support and camaraderie and love for our veterans that are buried there. And I just want to tell everybody, thank you so much for your support.
So we're having a big Memorial Day celebration Monday. And Monday morning early, 0700, we're going to have a special flag raising ceremony for Memorial Day over at the Skinner Plaza with the Military Order Purple Heart. We'd like to invite, once again, everybody that's available to come down and enjoy the camaraderie. We'll have coffee and some refreshments just to raise the flags in commemoration of our fallen and gone brothers.
Are you going to bring your special donuts?
Of course.
I'll be there,
guys.
Be
you
there.
Know, enough of the special donuts. You know, he's actually, you know, whipping up the mix right now. That's what he's doing.
Oh, brother.
You know,
Yeah, we're going to have the ladies auxiliary going to take care of the refreshments for us.
Okay, so just let me know if you need any help for the setup or any additional items that you need for the ceremony that you guys are having.
I went by the vet cemetery, and it looks very nice. It's going to be very received. Very well.
Yeah, so we start water blasting. Well, we already started the water blasting, but we start painting Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I like to thank again all the organizations that have donated paint. So
which includes
you, sir. Thank you very much. But yeah, we're going to start painting this week, and hopefully everything turns out in time. For I know it will be. We'll be done by Sunday, so it's going to look really nice. And you know, that I can't express the words. Well, of our appreciation for all the volunteers.
Well, Tim, thank you for calling in for clarification on all these matters. You know, these are matters of importance. And just Admiral Mannoni will be on the Patty Arroyo show in the morning, so if you want to listen.
Cool.
In. So,
but I want to thank you guys again for your support, Tom and Johnny and Mr. Travis there.
No.
Mr. Kaufman, I'm sorry, but I thank you guys for all your support, and just let me know if there's anything I can do to help out for your Monday event.
And watch those cookies, they can be dangerous.
Oh, I'm staying away from cookies, Tom.
Okay.
Okay.
Especially if they're coming from Johnny.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I won't go there.
Okay,
right, thank you. Good night.
Good night, Tom. Jim. We got another call? Nothing? Okay.
Looks like we're good to go here.
All right. So where are we at? What time we got?
Oh. It's 47.
Oh, we still got time. You guys, we still got time to call in, so if you want to call in to the talk show, 477-5757. And I got the message about Adam Mannoni from Sean, who's sitting home probably laughing, going, yeah, you guys.
Well, don't you have a... Isn't it on the computer?
Something's ringing. Here we go. We
Something's ringing. It's your ears. That's what's ringing.
That too. Okay.
That too.
Hello. Good evening.
Yeah.
Yay.
This is Joe again, Joe Mangiona.
Okay, Joe.
I got a story to tell you guys. I'm going to let you guys know.
Okay.
Is that
Joe?
Okay?
All right, shoot.
Okay, two of the Inorahan military, the Air Force.
Okay.
Now, these two guys are cousins. They're supposed to report to Anderson Air Force Base. They were stationed here.
Okay.
And at that time, a typhoon hit Guam.
Hello?
So, what these two Air Force, they tried to swim to go across to the other side. Now, these two guys are from Iran, and they were supposed to report to Anderson, you know, for duties. So, They jump in on the river down here at Tarifofu. And they were lost. I mean, they carried out for several days the military, the Air Force, and some of those guys, and also the one police, conduct a search. Recovery, but there's only one guy that they managed to find. The body or the remains is up in Ilik Bay. You guys know Ilik Bay?
Yeah, right? yeah. We got that.
Yeah, yeah. But the other one was never recovered.
What happened to him?
We just never recovered the other one, but the other one in Ilik. Yeah, they retrieved the. But you see, the thing about it is that these two guys risked their life to report deployed for duty up at Adamson Air Force Base. Air Force guy.
Okay. All right, Joe, we're going to have to cut you off because we got some messages coming over the phone.
Yeah, okay.
It's that. Take
care. Yeah.
All right. Okay, got a message. Admiral Mononi to be on Patty's show tomorrow at 09:30. For those of you guys who want to call in and wish him well, bon voyage and all that, he'll be on Patty's show tomorrow. Okay, Sean, got that. What else you got, Sean? I know you're out there thinking of something. Okay, so much for the two guys that got lost in Anderson. Okay. Where we at, Tom?
Deficiencies with record keeping at the Veterans Administration. They're still having too many problems with medical records modernizing. They've been working on this thing for 20 years. Also, I have a report from the Office of Inspector General about, you can go on the webpage in VA, a review of community-based outpatient clinics closed due to COVID-19 pandemic. Many of the clinics are actually physically closed.
Mm.
They transferred the doctors to, you know, private hospitals and things like that.
Okay.
But there's a list. Guam is not on that list. It's being closed.
Okay, time out.
Okay.
Sean's trying to call in. Sean, if you're listening, call us in. The lines are clear for you. Give us a buzz. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm getting these messages on my little thing here, man.
You know, I'm telling you.
Technology.
Technology.
Yeah.
He's like
great.
He's like a kid. He's got a nice chair now. He adjusted the chair, and now he's playing with his wrist.
He's taking over Sean's job now.
Jeez. No. Okay, Sean, we're waiting. Call us. Put down that Miller and give us a call.
I don't see no blinking lights, so.
Nothing.
Okay, you want to talk about those individuals that are going to jail?
Going to jail?
Yes.
On Guam?
No, Guam, in the States.
I have a question.
For kidding.
Yes.
You know how every year they, Naval Base Guam, they always do the background check for your ID?
They do?
Yeah, you're supposed to renew your ID every year at NBG. So I went in to renew in January, and they denied me, I guess because of something that I had last year. You know, and it was a misdemeanor or something like that, but a petty misdemeanor. But they denied me to get my ID. Or to access, not ID, but access to the base. And they said something, well, I don't remember it, but it was like 6 months. That's about, do you guys know anything about that? Do you have any guidance on that?
I never heard about it.
So they never checked me.
Yeah, and so every year.
I have no idea.
I guess if you have that, the VA card, right?
Yeah.
You have to go in and renew your ID, and they do a background check on you. So for me, because I had something that happened off post or outside or whatever, they said I have to get clearance from a police clearance, a traffic clearance, a signed letter from the commander of Naval Base Guam or something. It was a whole list of things, and then they said, either that or wait 6 months and reapply. You know, have you guys ever?
No, are you talking about the white ID card or
this
the retirement
one.
Card?
Not the retirement, this one.
The military card?
The VA. The service connected one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is what I have.
I have no idea. No idea at all.
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, I'm part of a veterans group chat, and there's so much. You know, Naval Base, since the allowance of VA members and, you know, vets, there's been so much stuff. Like, how come we can't use the gym at Navy? Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't.
We're not allowed access to the gym, but I saw it. I saw the guidance. It said that veterans, veteran VA card holders should be will be treated the same as retirees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something else, but we get the same types of benefits. But they when I went to the gym when I first got my card,
mm-hmm.
and they denied me. I was like, they're like, no, it's this and that, and you know, it was like a whole.
You know, it's funny, man. You hate to say, don't shoot the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these messengers that are passing a message, they need to be shot. You know, because they're confused and they're so convoluted and screwed up. You know, it's like giving a blind man a candle.
Oh,
how far are you going to get in the dark? You know?
Well, for the longest time, remember we were on the show, for the longest time I thought if you had a VA card,
mm-hmm.
that says service connected,
mm-hmm.
I thought you'd go right on the base like a military retiree.
Yeah.
But well, no, you have to go to...
You have to go to the VCC, pass an ID, whatever.
And I said, well, don't they read the computers read the information? And I was on the assumption that the computer, you know, they scan it.
The scanner.
Reads the information.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean told me, no, they have...
I believe you just have to register for whatever base it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I was just confused. I mean, yeah. You know.
Because with your regular active duty ID or your regular
yeah.
ID card, you don't have to go register.
No,
you just yeah.
No. But you know, the technology nowadays gets screwed up by like whoever's
yeah.
reading it. You know, that's all I can say is, it used to be don't shoot the messenger, shoot the message. But now it's the message is all right, but the messenger's getting screwed up. Okay, well we're coming down to the nitty gritty. What? We got a clock around here?
It's on the computer.
Where? Oh, 1957.
There you go.
Yeah, back in 1957 when Hitler was a cadet.
Yeah.
We got 3 minutes left. Anybody got anything they want to say? Okay, this is our last show before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Once again, we want to invite everybody down to the Skinner Plaza for the flag raising 0700 Monday morning, and then take a break, and then memorial service at the Veteran Cemetery. Well, I'm getting tongue-tied.
That's about 10 o'clock in the morning, is it?
10 o'clock in the morning, roger that. And it's going to be hot and cooking, so bring some umbrellas if you got to stand in
water or something. You got to, yeah.
Yeah.
It gets hot down there in cemetery.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not for those that are under heavy medication. That sun just crippled you.
Once again, according to Sean Watson, who's home, basically, who's drinking San Miguel Light, you dog. Admiral Minoni will be on Patty Arroyo's show tomorrow, 09:30. So that'll be interesting to listen to his goodbye speech.
Right.
Okay. Anything else out there?
No, hopefully... The Veterans Affairs Office gets the money they need to, in the budget.
Of course. We all wish the best for those guys down there, because I wouldn't work down there. If I did, I'd be just scrubbing the stairs with a toothbrush. I wouldn't want to listen to none of those guys down there.
No, it's job itself is stressful.
Right. Okay, for those of you out in Radio Land, thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you again next week. Same time, same station. And y'all take care and listen to your queens.
Okay.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
KGUM AM Hagatya Guam is News Talk K57.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The CDC is...